Morning. Will you join me in prayer as we look into God's Word? Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this beautiful, sunshiny morning. Thank you for us to be able to come together to worship you. What a privilege that is. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us in your Word, that we would grow closer to you, that we'd know you better, and that we'd love you more as a result. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is now 2019. We're in the new year already. It's pretty crazy. This last year went by really, really fast for us. I'm sure it did for you as well. And as the new year begins, many people have New Year's resolutions, or they set some goals for themselves over the coming year. So I'm going to ask you guys for some audience participation. And I have the top 10 list of resolutions for 2019. So let's see if you guys can name them off. Just yell them up at me of what you think some of the resolutions are. Go ahead. Lose weight. All right. Yes. That's a top one. That one is, let's see, that's number 3 on the list. Number 3 is lose weight. Exercise. That's number 2. Yes. What else? You guys have... Wait, what? Oh, not talking about politics? That's actually not on there. Apparently people still want to do that. Was it? Yes, spend less money. That one is number 4 on the list. Eat healthier. Yes, that is number 1. Diet and eat healthier. You guys are doing pretty good so far. Start a relationship? Let's see. There's the last one, spend more time with friends and family, so I guess that could kind of fall underneath that one. I'll give it to you. Nope, that one's not in there. Nope, that one's not in there. Unfortunately, no, that one's not on the list. Stop smoking, that is on the list. That is number 6. What is it? Stop drinking. That one is also on the list. That is number 9. Get organized. That's a good one, but it's not on there. I think the last few that we missed was number 5, start a new skill or hobby. Number 7 is read more. And I think we covered the rest. So, I mean, I think you would agree, all these are pretty good New Year's resolutions. They're pretty good goals to have. But they missed the most important one. And I hope it's one that you, each one of you, will have as your top priority and your top resolution for 2019, and that is seeking Jesus this year. Seeking Jesus should be at the top of your list for your New Year's resolution. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, is seeking Jesus and how the Magi give us an amazing example of what that looks like to seek Jesus. Today is Epiphany, as Jerry already mentioned, and that's all about remembering how the Magi came to Jesus and offered him gifts and worship. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at that story, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and we're going to look at how the Magi give us this example of seeking Jesus and how this should be our task, our endeavor, our adventure as well. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So many of you are familiar with this story, and usually in nativity scenes we see the shepherds and the wise men all together. That's incorrect. I'm sorry. That is just not the right timeline. And we're going to take a look at that and why it's significant. But as we take a look at these magi and seeking Christ, the first thing that I want you to see is the first step, or if you will, of seeking Jesus is to be watching. And I did this nice thing of making them all W's for you guys, just to make it fun and memorable, all right? So that's the first point, is watching. They were watching. They saw in the sky this unusual star. And there's lots of debate on what this star was and this sign in the heavens. But they were watching. They saw the star, and they knew it was important. And they set out on their journey. If you look at the verses, in the very first verse, it says that they're magi from the east. Many people believe that the magi were located somewhere in Babylon or Persia. And that would make sense because during the exile, when the Jews were dispersed, many of them lived in those kingdoms, and they would have heard some of the prophets, like Daniel, prophesy of this one that was to come. So they would have been familiar with this idea of this king that was to come from the Jews. And so that would have gave them a little bit to be looking out for this Savior, this king that was to come. These magi were wise men. Right? We call it, sometimes they call them three kings, but they'd be better understood as magi being wise men. And so they studied astrology and philosophy and magic and these sorts of things. And that's why God used the star to get their attention. They were already looking for a sign in the heavens. And God used something that they were familiar with to communicate them, to send them on this journey of seeking Jesus. They were watching and they were looking for Jesus to come. And they saw this star and they went on their way. And my encouragement for each one of us is, are you looking each and every day for Jesus? Are you looking for him to display himself? Or to give you a message? Are you looking for the unusual ways for Jesus to show up in your life? Because he's there, and he wants to communicate with each and every one of us. But we have to be watching. Last year, around Christmas time, Elena and I went out to her family in Illinois, and we traveled out there. It's a 13-hour drive. Ezra was just a little baby, so it was rough. When we were coming home, we drove through the night so Ezra could sleep, and so I was exhausted, and I was ready to get home, and I was hoping Ezra might even take a nap, but you know, and I could rest a little bit. And as we're pulling into the house, it was interesting. On the radio, the announcer begins speaking, and he quotes a verse from James that says, "Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials," as we're pulling in. And I was like, oh man, we've been memorizing that verse at youth group. And it just kind of was in my head. And then we walked into the door of the house, and we're home. But then I hear this noise. And if you remember, last year it got really cold and lots of people's pipes burst. I go downstairs, and our basement's flooding with water. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad to be home. No, right? But it was interesting because God was already speaking to me and preparing my heart before I walked into the house and reminded me, Luke, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. We need to be watching for the Lord to speak to us, for him to show himself to us each and every day. And that is part of seeking Jesus. So that's the first point. The second thing that I want us to see is these magi would have traveled a great distance, and it probably took them several months. And the reason why I say this is Herod asked them specifically when they saw the star, and then later on, when they find Jesus and they leave because they're warned in the dream, Well, Herod wants to take Jesus out, and so he sends soldiers in, and they take out every small boy two and under. So that's a 2-year time frame. So more than likely, these magi had been traveling for months to get there. And that's the second point that I want us to get. When we're seeking Jesus, it's going to take work. It means you have to turn off Netflix and use a little effort. All right? It was not easy for them. They were traveling miles. It wasn't like they could drive a car or jump on a jet. They would have been walking on foot or on camel. It would have been a long trip. It would have been tiring. It would have been costly to travel this distance to Jerusalem in search of Jesus. My question for you is, what are you willing to give in your search for Jesus? What are you willing to give in your search for Jesus? There's a story in the Bible, and I like it because I'm a short dude, and it's about Zacchaeus, right? And many of you guys know the little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he, right? Climbed way up to a sycamore tree and see what he could see. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that, and other people are like, what is he doing? All right, it's a story, right? And Jesus comes to Jericho. This is when Jesus is an adult. And this tax collector, Zacchaeus, is so excited to meet Jesus because he had heard of the stories of how Jesus had healed people and his teachings, and he just wanted to meet Jesus. Well, he's a tax collector, all right? So he was not well-liked, and there was a great crowd. So they're not going to make room for him, and he's a short dude, like myself, couldn't see above the crowd. He wanted to desperately meet Jesus. So what's he do? He climbs a tree to seek Jesus. Just imagine a grown man climbing a tree. Even today, imagine a grown man climbing a tree to try to meet someone. It's kind of humbling. What measure are you willing to take in your effort to seek Jesus? What length and measure are you willing to go to seek and find Jesus? You know, people are willing to go through a lot if they feel like the prize at the end is worth it. There's all kinds of shows on TV, right? Survivor and Ninja Warrior and all these different things that are always challenging people to go to the greatest degree and to sacrifice and to give something up. And they endure it because usually there's this prize at the end, whether it's $1 million or, you know, this title that they get to have. Is Jesus worth the effort to you? Is he a prize worth you sacrificing for? So the second part of seeking Jesus is that we have to put some work into it if we really want to encounter him. The next thing that we see is, although God can use unique means to send people on this journey, to start the journey, like a star he used for the Magi, to send them seeking Jesus, he doesn't stop there. He then uses his word and a messenger for them to get specifically to Jesus. And we see that as they come to Jerusalem, they say, "Where's the king? Where's the king of the Jews to be found?" And where is the answer? The answer is found in God's word. They go to the Old Testament prophecy, and then they are directed to Bethlehem. See, God can use all kinds of things to get people's attention and get them on the journey to searching for Jesus. But to find him uniquely and to find him specifically and personally, we need God's word to direct us. And we find that here in this story. And it's in God's word that we see who Jesus is. We see that he is called the King. He's the King. He is Lord. And when we look at God and we're searching, and as we invite other people to search in God's word, they're going to be confronted with who Jesus claims he is. He claims that he is Lord, the Son of God, the Christ. And there's three things you can do with that when you come across those claims. And I'm taking this from C.S. Lewis, a great Christian apologist. And he said, when you're confronted with Jesus' claims, there's three options. Jesus either is just lying, he's a liar, he's just lost his rocker and is deluded and he's a lunatic, or he actually is who he says he is, that he's Lord, There's no other options. You can't just say Jesus was a good moral teacher, he was a cool prophet. No. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. So either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's the Lord. And as we look at who Jesus is and his character and what he did, it's pretty obvious that he's not off his rocker. He spoke some of the most profound words ever recorded in history. He was willing to give up his life. He lived with integrity and purity. He was not a liar. So we're left with Jesus being Lord. And there's three responses to that when we see that Jesus is Lord. We see them in this story. The first is Herod's response. That's hostility. Because Herod wanted to be king. He didn't want another king taking his place. And sometimes we can have the response that Herod has when we encounter Jesus. We kind of like being king of our castle. Us calling the shots, living life the way we want. And Jesus, when he comes along as king, it disturbs our way of life. So that's the first response that we could. The second response that we could have is to be like the scribes and the teachers and the chief priests. And that's just to be indifferent, right? They knew what the scripture said. They were even able to point the Magi to Bethlehem. They had studied the scriptures. Bethlehem was only a few miles away from Jerusalem. But you notice in the story that none of them get up and go to search for the king too? They were satisfied with the way things were. They were comfortable with their religious status quo. And they didn't go search out this king that was born. So we could be hostile, we could be indifferent, or we could do what the Magi did and go to the place and seek Jesus' presence and find him and worship him. It's important that we don't become like the chief priests, who they were able to share the word to others, but they weren't willing to go seek Jesus themselves. And it's important that we bring others on the journey with us, and that we be God's messengers and share that word and direct people to Jesus as well. And so what I want you guys to do is, if you have a cell phone, pull it out. If you have a cell phone, pull it out. Most of you probably do. And this is, I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to make you uncomfortable right now. So get ready to be uncomfortable. I'm already warning you. And this is what I want you to do. Because we can talk, and we can have really great intentions and never do anything. So I want you to take your cell phone out, and I want you to think of someone that you want to invite on the journey to finding Jesus who doesn't know Christ, and I want you just to text that person and ask them to get together with you sometime this week. All right? That's all I'm asking you to do. And I want you, either one, if you're intimidated about sharing your own story, I would really love to hear that. I would really like you to just say, hey, This is what my life's been. I've been following Christ. Let me tell you a little about my story. Invite you to come along and seek Christ too. If that intimidates you, then the second option, I would do this. Jerry's been giving you handouts to invite people to come to the Questioning Jesus series that we're going to be doing, and to invite them to come to that first meal in February. What day is that, Jerry? 17th. The 17th of February. Invite them to come to that and just say, hey, our church is doing this series. We'd love for you to come out. If you have questions about Jesus, this is a great place, a great time to come and ask them and to find out more of who Jesus is. So I'm not going to be offended if you're texting right now. Go ahead and do it. You can keep listening to me, right? I want you to do this because we can have good intentions but never actually act and obey Christ. And we need to do that. My mom taught me that. My mom's a great example of that. And when we were younger, we had these neighbors. Their last names were the Bates. And we would go visit them regularly. And when we visit them, we would try to chat with them and share a little bit about Christ with our neighbors. My mom would bring us kids. They were an older couple, so they loved having us. We usually got a little candy out of the bowl. I always got a kiss on my cheek from Mrs. Bates. And we would just share. Right? My parents would just try to share, plant little seeds of the gospel with them. And it just seemed to never go very far, never went very deep. And so my mom was like, well, I really care about them, and I just want them to hear the gospel. So my mom actually wrote out a letter just talking about her testimony and her story and shared the gospel really clearly, because they were getting older, and she knew we only had so much time to get this message to them. And it was amazing. The next time when we came back to visit them, he had the letter there sitting at the table, and he was so touched that my mom cared that much to share the message. And he even was showing this letter to his friends. It's amazing. We need to actually do this. And that's why I'm asking you to do this and text your friends or get together with them. Because when we're seeking Christ, the proper response is to worship. And that's the last point of seeking Jesus, is to worship. The Magi came and they worshiped Jesus. Think about this for a second. Jesus would have been an infant to a toddler age. Not only that, but he's the king of the Jews. And the Jews at that time were considered this nation of troublemakers, and they were a conquered race, right? They didn't even have their own kingdom. There's not much to impress these magi about a king of the Jews, let alone a toddler, right? They traveled miles to meet him. I was thinking about this. I was like, why would you travel this far to see a baby king? It's not like you're going to have a great conversation with him, right? Why would you come? What do you get out of it? And I was thinking, man, what did the Magi expect to get out of finding this baby king? And I realized the answer is they expected nothing. They came to give to Jesus, not to get from Jesus. They came simply to be in his presence because they knew who Jesus was. The Son of God come down to earth, and just being in his presence was more than enough. Being with him was the prize. When you come to worship, what are your expectations? Because I find that we often come more about us than it is about him. We come to, what do I get out of it? How am I going to feel? That wasn't what the Magi were concerned about. They were concerned about coming and giving their best to Jesus, who would one day give his all for them. So what do you consider when you're coming to worship? Are you coming to give to the Lord, or are you coming just to get? The Magi show us what real worship is. I want to encourage you to consider that. As you come, when we gather together, are you coming and looking to give your praise and your thanksgiving to Jesus, no matter what the style of worship is, no matter how well Jerry preaches? Are you coming to give your best to Jesus? Are you coming to encourage your brothers and sisters? Are you coming to serve? Or is it all about you? Because true worship is about Jesus. So as we look and we're seeking Jesus, we need to be watching, we need to be working, we need to be looking into the Word, and we need to end with worship as we seek Jesus. And I encourage you, bring people on the journey. I want to end with this quote. It's by Augustine. It says, "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest achievement." So 2009, I want to invite you on the greatest adventure of seeking Jesus. And the reward is to find him and to invite others and share in that joy of bringing others with you. May that be your New Year's resolution for 2019. Will you join me in prayer? Jesus, you are worth everything we can give. You are worth all of our worship and our praise and adoration. Help us not to get distracted with all the other things, all the other goals that often get in the way of seeking you. May we seek you with all of our heart and all of our strength. Be transforming us to be more like you, Lord. Be king over our lives. Thank you for your word that guides us. May we be faithful in encouraging one another as we go on this journey of seeking you this year. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.